Hello?
Hey, I'm trying to speak with Jacqueline.
This is she.
Okay, Jacqueline, Rick here with Huff and Mazer. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad. Thank you for asking. I'm so sorry. It took a little longer for me to, kind of wrap up my line. We were actually meeting after like 3 weeks, and that's the longest, we stayed out of contact since she was on vacation. So it took me a little longer to get to you. I hope I didn't hold you up with anything.
Okay.
Okay, so Jacqueline, I wanted to get into a better discussion with you about the mobile app. I think we've covered almost everything. So you mentioned, just to pick up from where we left off, you have about 70 books that you'd like to publish within your own white-labeled application for e-books, right?
I have ebooks and audiobooks that are, 70, and I have more that I want to do with my publishing company. I've got about a dozen other authors who are good authors, and they just can't seem to get traction in a very oversaturated market. So I want to help
Okay,
them and kind of grow my business that way.
that makes perfect sense. So, like, is that your primary purpose, or do you see this just like how I would see this, essentially, is it's going to lay a foundation for more like a marketplace where people can access other authors' applications in the future as well, right? So not just
Yes.
your content. Sorry.
It'll be me and anyone I publish. And
Exactly.
of course, I've done this for 12 years now, so several other friends, when they have a free book up or, that kind of thing, I'd like to be able to add other authors and stuff too as well.
Oh wow, okay, 12 years. All right, and okay, so great. So let us try and wrap our heads together, and try and paint a canvas on what the application or how the application would essentially function, right?
Okay.
I did send you the company profile as well. Did you get a chance to review it?
I did, yes.
Oh, you did. Okay, great. So, all right. So, coming back to trying and painting a canvas in our heads, Jacqueline. Of course, you would need for your customers to your readers to be able to download the application, which should always be free of cost, just to make sure there's no barrier to entry when you talk about the number of downloads. However, when they get on
Right.
the application, they can see, they can browse around, the different kinds of content you offer, the different kind of books you have. Probably read a summary as well, just so they can get a taste of it. And then, when they want to read their first book, or when they've covered the free content, which in our jargon is called the freemium model, whereby you offer something for free, and then when they really want to, dive deeper into it, the target audience can then, purchase a subscription like we were talking about it over the chat as well. So is that where is that how you want to do it as well, or do you have a different plan for this?
It is. I mean, there's many different apps out there that are like that, like audiobook apps that, I've been getting tons and tons of non-exclusive contracts from people to put my books, the audios that I own the rights to, up on their sites and stuff. But I mean, this bottom line, I will have other people's stuff on it, but only their free books. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be able to, okay, so what I want to be able to do is offer my readers a place to go. Like, I write an insane amount, and I have several worlds that I mean, I want to put up something every week, and I want them to be able to subscribe. Like, everyone's sending people to Discord and all this other stuff for that. I don't love that. I want something of my own that I can eventually grow as my publishing company grows and
I'm with
help
you. Yep.
friends who help me, if that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense. And as a reader myself, I hate to receive a Discord link, or I hate to receive a, there's so many groups out there that if you reach out to an author, you reach out to a publication company, they tell you, hey, can you go to this link and then, get into this group and then be, download the book or, read the book on that particular platform, and that kind of takes away, the ease or accessibility out of the whole equation. So I love
And
your
I also
idea.
want to put out, cut out the middleman, because I am exclusive with the majority of my books, all except for maybe a dozen of them, on KU. And they have, you know, dwindled away our profits. I would rather charge someone $4.99 a month for the ability to have their hands or eyes on my work, and then not get the, you know, 70% plus their delivery fee plus this plus that taken from Amazon. And when I started, there was no Kindle Unlimited. There was no delivery fee. It was their 70% covered all, or their 30% covered all of that. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, I just see where, and now with AI, with the AI books that are saturating the market right now, it's horrible. And I just, my readers expect a certain something from me, and they, when I, you know, tell them I read a book, which I write so much that I don't read a lot because I don't want someone else's idea in my head. I want them to be able to know what they're getting, you know? And I have...
I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
No, I just want to be able to... If I'm going to say this is an awesome book or you should read this or something, you know, I don't want it to be not... Why can't I think of the words? Because I'm not writing. I talk like an idiot. I write very well. It's horrible. I want it to be legit. I don't want it to be just a, you know, nonsense that they do in this world anymore. Like,
and then you want to go through the noise and saturation as well, like you mentioned, and, you know, that...
Yep.
Right. But Jacqueline, I'm looking at it from a, you know, because there's two reasons why I would say this, but I'm looking at it as, you know, more like a foundation that can be built into more like a closed marketplace that you control, you own, and then you can give access to, you know, really good authors within your industry. And, you know, one thing that Kindle and Barnes & Noble and other similar platforms kind of dismiss, or they do not come up to the expectations of, is that they're not exclusive in nature. They would allow just anyone to publish, and that, like you said, I mean, AI content writing. I mean, that's not even writing in its truest sense, because you're not using, you're just using technology to write, right? And that does not have the heart and soul of an author that goes into the book.
Heart is lost in it, and it's funny because I had a narrator that I use, you know, often to do some audio work. And I said, you know, she said, if you're uploading to Findaway, which I have taken, you know, exclusive rights from Amazon, and now I'm publishing the audio, because I have lots of audiobooks through other companies that, you know, pay me to, and they produce them. They hold all the cost and give me an upfront amount, and then I get royalties from it. But so now mine are wide. And the narrator said to me, she said, just so you're aware, If you allow your books to be published on Apple, there is a very small print saying that they're teaching their AI to write based on your writing. And, you know, and I'm like, yeah, no, nope.
That's unheard of for me, I'll be honest with you. And, you know, that's crazy. I mean, for someone who's an author, I know I can totally tell how this may feel. Although I don't write, I'm more of a reader. But for someone like you who puts their heart and soul into writing, and I'm sure you do, the way, you know, the way passionately you're talking about it, I think it's just crazy. I mean, someone or you know, technology is just using your, or you know, even better, a corporate behind it, using your work, your piece of work, to train their AI just because you're using their platform.
And I mean, I don't know what your age is, but think of music nowadays as compared to, like, the 80s and 90s was my favorite music era ever. And it's just not that anymore. There's nothing raw about it. And photographers are now getting their pictures that they post, you know, because you buy hot guy pictures from photographers and use them for your book covers, and now they're seeing their stuff being run through these generators and people stealing their work. It's just, it does not, your art form is being stripped by AI, which is sad. Sad, very sad.
So, yeah. just so you know, I love the 90s songs as well, and I totally agree that that was kind of the best era for both the movies and songs as well. And then AI,
Yes.
you know, it's taking over anything. Have you heard of, have you listened to the song My Heart Will Go On by Celine Dion?
Yeah, yep.
1990s, I think 1994, 5, I think. Those were probably the golden days of the music industry.
Now, see, I'm a little, I love Green Day. I love Pearl Jam. I love that, you know. I mean, I love Celine, too, but, like, you know, the grunge bands and those guys were, I mean, first of all, half of them were on drugs when they were writing their stuff, but, you know, they were pretty badass. I loved them.
And they used to put so much of heart and soul once again, and, you know, in the work of Boulevard by...
They didn't have the voice that we all have behind us now. Like, computers,
yes.
I have a daughter, and I'm looking at her flipping out about politics, and I just want to, you know, I do just say to her, just so you know, all politicians have been scumbags from since day one. It's power and control. That's all it is. None of them are good, you know? Like, anyone with that many zeros after their names are no freaking good.
you don't have to be on the either side. I mean, you just make a fool out of yourself when you pick sides into this power hustle.
Yep.
And you make yourself look like a stupid, you know, when you, you know, be a blue or be a red. I'm apolitical in that sense as well. And, you know, I just feel that, you know, we've come a long way, especially since the 90s, you know, creating content, creating something of your own. It's so easy to copy someone. Even if you have a patent, you have a, you know, copyrights, you have the trademarks and whatnot, they do give you something.
But I really, my friends get upset with me because they're like, my PR people and stuff, they're like, you have to talk about what you've read. And I'm like, do you understand I don't want to read because I don't want someone else's idea to flood my head. You know, when I read out of my genre. I don't want someone else's, I mean, you know, I just don't. It's not authentic.
You don't want to pick from them. Yeah, and that's exactly what, you know, these AI technologies are doing. You must have heard about ChatGPT, for example.
Yes.
have, you know, stopped writing.
No, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, I played with it the other day just to see, because my nephew is in software and development and stuff. Like, he just graduated from high school. He's going to be doing security, you know, whatever security stuff for online, you know, whatever. I'm very tech illiterate. I do not like it. I like whatever. But, and it's funny because in romance novels, you write explicit scenes.
Uh-huh.
And I asked them to write a scene. You know, sex scene, obviously, and they don't do that. So I'm like, wow, all these people think that, you know, that's funny. They're not going to be able to do that.
So AI wouldn't write an intimate piece of, you know, a novel, is what you're saying? It won't write an intimate piece of writing?
It won't, and it's very, like, so what I did was I took one of my big worlds that's like second generation, it's like 30 novels long or whatever, you know, it just each book is about a different couple within this family. And I said, make them into werewolves, you know. I mean, it was doing some pretty intense, awesome things, but it just, there's no feeling in it. And you have to have that for romance, and you have to have that for, you know, for description. It's kind of neat. Like, I can see why people would use it, but it's very obvious that it's not a person who can feel. But so are some authors. They're so, like, some authors don't, I don't know. I can see both sides to everything. Like, I can be very, my moral compass is very, you know, how it has been since I was born, but I can see both sides to everything. And a lot of people are so one-sided that their writing comes off that way. So I don't know.
I can tell. Right. I mean, that's an interesting, you know, I could go on and on about it, and probably something we could talk about as well. I mean, I think we have a similar interest too. However, you know, when you talk about a mobile app, Jacqueline, I'm not too sure if you've done an app before. I'm assuming that you haven't. Because you just said
no, I honestly just looked at it because I want the noise off. You know, like, Again, I go to the gas station now when the pumps talk to me. It drives me freaking crazy. I am insane. So I just want people who can just enjoy. If there was a way I could say there's no notifications allowed on while you're on this app, that would be something I would do.
that's something we'd have to look at, because notifications become an important part of the application. There's ways to kind of allow the user to manage that as well. We'll come to that too when we start painting our heads on, you know, what the application would look like. So while we're talking about it, let's like jump into it and see, you know, whether are we on the same page
There's a lot of feedback on your end right now. I don't know why. I can't hear.
What, is this better? I think I got off my speakerphone for some reason. Give me one second.
Okay.
Okay, is this better?
Yes.
Okay, am I sounding like I'm on the speakerphone, or is it sounding like I'm on, you know, the microphone?
Speakerphone.
Okay, well, as long as you can hear me, we'll try and go forward. So let me know when I'm cutting off, right? So Jacqueline, I was saying that, you know, as far as the application is concerned, there's two things that I want to put across to you and see how you take this. What do you have to say about this? A, when the application has in-app purchases, right, when people are purchasing through the application, which has to be the case most of the times, there are ways around that as well. We'll discuss that too. But when you have in-app purchases, especially for subscriptions in your case, Apple and Android are going to take over 30% of that share.
Okay.
30% is their commission. So now you see they're all over the place. So there's no way to avoid them, but actually there are ways to avoid them. One, if you don't want to go live on the marketplaces altogether, right, because you want to do something on your own without being dependent on these marketplaces, you don't have to, and a lot of people don't know this, but an application does not necessarily have to go live on the app stores. That's the first thing.
Okay.
Because these are marketplaces in nature. They give you the extra traffic. They give you the extra traction. But if you're looking to build your own audience, there are many other marketing ways. You don't have to look at them to give you that traction, because at the end of the day, while they're giving you some kind of a marketplace, you know, all the perks of being a marketplace where, you know, there are regular app downloaders and whatnot, they are giving you that sort of competition as well. And when people come to the app store and they're looking to download your application, they see many other applications that are recommended by Apple and Google, just because those apps are paying Google and Apple to be listed, you know, side by side with your application. So automatically, you get into the same thing that you're trying to avoid, and that is you want to cut through the noise, and you realize that when you go live on these marketplaces, you're actually one way or the other getting into it again. Does that make sense?
It absolutely makes sense. Yep.
Right. So now coming to what we could do to get around it, A, we could have the application self-hosted, right? So you don't have to go live on the app stores. You have a website. You have many other places, I'm sure, where you have published your book. You have many connections as well. You just have to give them the link to your application so they can download. So just like you have an App Store button that you tap to download the application to your phone in the Google Play Store or Apple App Store, I'm not too sure what phone you use, but whatever the marketplace you go into, you tap a button, you download the application, it's going to work similarly, but it's not, the people won't have to go to the App Store essentially to download the application for you, your application.
Right.
The other thing is, you know, if that does not cut for you, then the other way, if you still want to go live on the app stores, or you know sometime in the future you would still want to keep this option open, the other way is that now we need to look at avoiding the 30% commission that you pay to Apple and Google, because I think in your case, if you're offering a $5 subscription, that is the starting price within your application. The problem is you know, Google and Apple are going to take away $1.50, and even more than that probably, $1.50 in your case, to generate that sale for you, right? Now, what we could do to get around this is that if people want to make a purchase, they could go out of the application to your website, to your self-hosted, website, where they can, make a purchase. They get a license key, that they come back on the application, they enter the license key, and boom, they have the access to the application just like anyone would if they make a purchase within the application. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yep.
So the app itself essentially would not have to do nothing with online payments or managing the payments, as far as that is concerned. The app essentially is going to verify whether the license key is correct or not. And in order to do that, I think this is going to get a little technical, and that may not be the most necessary part, but it's going to be connected with a database on the back end that is going to have all the license keys that are paid for. So whenever someone generates a license key, they get an email, they get a notification with the license key that they need to pick up and put in the application, and that license key is also be copied and pasted into a database that we're going to set up for you behind the application that is going to verify whether the license key is correct or not. So as long as the license key is correct, they're going to get the application access and they can get full access to the rest of the application. Sweet.
Okay.
Now, that's one thing. The other thing that I was thinking of, since the time we've been chatting about the application is that when you talk about mobile app development, you would need to have a larger purpose on why you're building the application, or you'd have to, see through your vision on why you need an app. Why? Because an app development, naturally requires significant investment into the development cost of it, right? Now, how we work is that, A, we're strictly work for hire. So you commission the application, we deploy our dedicated team to your project, they get the work completed, and everything from the source code to the app files to everything that goes into building this application, including the recipe, the ingredients, and layman terms, are all going to belong to you. We will sign a contract with you that's going to say that everything is work for hire, and that means everything, not just the final product, but everything that's built for the application is going to belong to you, and we'll be under the legal bounds to make sure it doesn't get copied or does not get copied by another author like yourself who's pursuing a similar idea. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Now, that said, on the flip side, this also means that you're not going to pay any kind of subscriptions to us. You don't have any ongoing financial obligations. It's going to be a one-time fee that gets you a complete product from scratch until deployment, and then a 3-month warranty as well, whereby we, take care of the application for you, and we're liable for any kind of bugs or errors after the app is deployed, right? After the app is live and it's launched. And from there, if you'd like to have us retain us to maintain the application for you, we'd be more than happy to do it, but that comes at a separate contract, and that is going to be 1.5% of the development fee, the initial development contract. So if it's, if the development costs you, say, just an example number, does not have to do anything with the actual development cost. Say if it costs you $100,000, for example, right? The app maintenance is going to cost you $1,500 per month. So that's 1.5% of the total development cost, so 1.5% per month. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yours is not going to cost so much, so I'm not trying to scare you. I just, that's the number that I'm throwing off the top of my head, just to give you some calculation on how this works. Now, before we go down this rabbit hole,
I would need maintenance if I was going to add new books every month and that stuff.
No, you won't. I'll tell you that as well. So there's two ways to do the application as well. Of course, there's more than one ways to do anything in life, so there's more than one ways to get about an application as well. If you want to maintain the application's content on your own and just have us make the minor version updates for you, like you would want to be independent in that sense, we could also build for you not just the front end, a beautiful front end application for your user base or your reader base. We could also, apart from that, build for you an admin panel that is going to allow you to manage the users and the content and the payments and the license keys on your own without having to ring us up in the middle of the night when you want to, you know, upload a new book or be dependent on us or be dependent on our ETAs to get your new book out or launch a new book or manage your license keys and whatnot.
Okay.
Right? So if there's two different kinds of interfaces we are looking at. One is the front-end user, that is the reader on the application. How they are going to use the application is once they download the application on their phone, just like you download any other application on your phone, first thing they see is you're going to be your branding. We'd have to do some kind of branding for you as well. I'm not too sure if you have a logo or not, you have some color scheme or not, but you'd have to look like a brand, you know, so everyone can become familiar with you now that you're going to an intellectual property platform that you're 100% owner of, right? So we'll do that branding for you. It's going to be a splash screen that turns up that automatically rolls out when you open, you know, the application. The next screen you see is a login and a password. And why is that? So we can, you know, manage the license keys, and then people can pick up from where they live. So if they, you know, read a book the other day and they want to continue reading, the app has to store or it has to cache where the reader actually left off, right? So they can pick up from where they, you know, from the last page that they read. Now, on top of this, like, I mean, apart from the regular reading and listening functionalities, do you need something like, you know, a small journal for people to take notes as well, like, you know, other bells and whistles as well within the application, like a highlighter, you know, say a note recording feature and something similar, or do you want to keep it simple at this time and then be able to scale it in the future?
I mean, that would kind of be cool for people who like to journal, you know what I mean? Like a lot of people are now highlighting and journaling and like tabbing their books and stuff. That might be interesting. But maybe down the road, just because I know it's going to be a big chunk of an initial investment.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly what I'm trying to explain, yeah. So all of these bells and whistles, well, of course, they're all great ideas, and, you know, there's so much that can be done with an application like this, especially given my past experience. I'll show you a couple of applications that I've done as well. We have done as well, you know, within your industry and within your niche. And there's so much that can be done, right? But as much as they all sound like good ideas, they come at a cost of development, especially at the, you know, at the starting out, right? So
right.
In order to keep it simple, now when they have like a login screen and the users can sign up or log in, and then the next thing they see is that they can see all your books and they can see all your audio files that they have limited access to, right? So they can, if it's a book, they can read the preface, they can read the summary, and when they click or when they tap on reading the full book or they want to open the full book, that's when the application is going to verify whether they have a subscription or they should be redirected to a subscription page whereby they must purchase a subscription before they can get you know, access to the paid content.
Okay.
Right? Likewise, if it's an audio book, then it's going to have a summary, you know, audio that they can listen to for free, or they could browse around the free content you have, but when they want to go through the paid content, they would have to purchase a subscription, for which they would have to go back, you know, it's going to be all linked. So when they're on the application, they go back to your website, which is going to open within the application, they enter, you know, their credit card, their debit card, they make a purchase for the subscription, they allow the automatic billing, right, and they, in return for that, they get a license key that they now, when they come back to the application, they can enter, and the system is going to verify whether the license key is actually legitimate or not. And if it is, it's going to allow them the access to the rest of the application. From there, they could have a PDF reader within which they can read the, you know, the textbooks within the application. There's going to be an audio player as well that is going to be integrated to the application. And then I'm thinking while we're working on this, we could have a video player as well, whereby if you want to do some kind of animated series down the road, or you want to give your introduction, or you know, post your content, if you're interested in, you know, say vlogging or something similar, you could do that within your application as well, or at least keep that as a functionality that could come handy in a lot of ways, especially with YouTube marketing and similar stuff.
Okay.
Right? Now, if we talk about the back end on how the back end is going to work, in fact, let me complete the first end first. So when the users are reading the book or they're listening to the audio, I think one important thing is going to be bookmarking where they left off. So they can also come back and they will have their own small profile. They, of course, can personalize it with their own picture. They can update their password. They can update their name and whatever. Like their own small space, just exactly why you go back to Facebook, or Facebook has 8 billion, you know, it has, I think, 4 billion users right now all over the world that use the Meta group of applications. Why they do it? Because they have a personal small space that they can personalize. They have a news feed. They have people that they know, and that's exactly why they come back to it. It's all psychology, right? So your application is going to have a small profile as well, where they can, you know, they can personalize it, and then they would have all the books that they have read or they have bookmarked, and each the application is going to store for each of the book. It's going to store the point or the page where they left off the last time they were reading that particular book, or the last time they were listening to that particular audio. Does that make sense?
Yep, absolutely.
Right now, as far as the front end is concerned, I would rather recommend we keep it to this. This is not something that I'm recommending to you. We recommend this to anyone who's doing, even if it's a big corporate. We work with a lot of enterprises as well. You've seen our portfolio, so you know by now. We do recommend them, you know, this as well, that you start out with an MVP, that is a minimum viable product, right? You build the core features, launch that, and based upon the feedback that you get, and based upon the first return in terms of you know, the financial return that you get from the application, you could plan the next step of development from there as well. And of course, the technologies and the frameworks that we use to build the application, all that is going to be open source. So it's going to be 100% scalable. Do you understand what open source is?
No, I don't.
Okay, let me break it down for you, right? So open source simply is a technology or a framework or whatever for that matter that is owned by no one, and then it's owned by everyone, right? And in the truest sense, it's not owned by a corporate that is going to be hounding you or that you're going to be held hostage to. It's going to be a well-reputed technology. So even after us, if you want to take this to, say you want to hire an in-house developer to maintain the application for you, just an example, you could do that as long as that developer is, you know, has the skill set with that particular technology, right? And it's going to be a global, worldwide reputed technology, so you wouldn't really have to stay hostage to us or any other third-party corporate that owns the technology or that tells you to pay on a monthly basis for it. And this technology or this framework or whatever framework you use, that is going to be open source in the sense that developers around the world, they build this technology and framework. It's open source. It's sourced by people and community rather than, you know, built by a corporate and enhanced and maintained by a corporate.
Okay.
Right. This again is why? Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. What?
Okay. I just want to add here that why I'm telling you all this is, regardless of whether we got to work together or not, what I want to make sure is, because you're doing the application for the first time, even if you speak to someone else, you speak to your nephew, you speak to another company, you should know that if they are telling you that they are going to build an application for you of half of what I would quote you, right? You need to figure out whether are they using open source technologies, whether what kind of framework are they using, whether what their maintenance clause looks like, whether they keep any kind of royalties within your application or not. All that has to be discussed to make sure you're not getting into something that you would not get into, especially because you're doing it for the primary purpose of, you know, owning the platform yourself rather than having to stay hosted with Apple or with Kindle or with Android or whatever, right?
Okay, so open source, does that mean that I would be, my information would be safe, that the subscriber's information would be safe or not? Like, that's confusing to me.
Well, open source wouldn't really have to do anything with security, right? It's going to be a separate thing. However, security is something that is going to be taken care of by us, right? So if there's a database that's installed on the back end, that's going to belong 100% to you, right? You will have the login credentials to it. You will have the master keys to it. And unless you allow someone access to it, it cannot be, you know, it cannot be broken into, or it won't have access to, or third party won't have access to your database, your app content, your user base. It's going to be 100%, you know, it's going to be 100% secure and yours to keep without having to involve any third party.
Okay.
Right? I feel like I'm jumping the guns on you, am I? I mean, is this overwhelming? I realize I'm, you know, divulging a lot of details.
No, I know what my limitations are, and I am not a web developer or an app developer. So
right.
You know what I mean? I'm trying to learn anything because this is not in my wheelhouse. But I'm trying to understand, that's all.
I'll try and discuss with you everything, you know, proactively, just to make sure. Like I said, if you have to work with someone else, you should know these things. If you have to work with us, I like to keep it transparent, right?
Absolutely. I like transparency.
Appreciate it. So, Jacqueline, that was the front end on how the front end is going to work. Now, the back end, the flip side of the coin, is going to be the back end admin panel that is going to allow you to maintain the application, or at least the major portion of the application that you like to keep updated on a regular basis. One of the first modules that's going to be on the admin panel is going to be the user management. You know, who is allowed to use the front end, whether if they have a license key and you would like to disable it manually because they're misusing the platform or whatever, which cannot happen in your case because your application is going to be read-only. There's no commenting going on. There's no forum in there, which is a great idea, by the way, for a future update. But right now, they are reading on the application. They're not entering anything themselves within the application. But in any case, you will be able to manage the users on the application, right? Moderate the users, manage the users, enable, disable them, update their passwords manually, because if you're charging them a subscription, you should be able to offer some kind of support to them as well. Say someone calls you up and tells you they lost their password. Now, they would be able to forget password and set it up themselves as well, but let's say they're too old or they cannot do it themselves, they could always come back to you and you could do it. You could arbitrate from the back end and do it for them. So one of the first things is going to be the user management. The second thing is where you could manage the content, not just the static content, the terms of use, the privacy policy, an about an author page, about Jacqueline Brown page, all that you could manage. But on top of that, you could also manage what kind of content you have on the application as far as the e-books are concerned, as far as the video content is concerned, and as far as the audio content is concerned.
Okay.
Right? And so those are some things you would need on the back end. Of course, there's some things else as well that we built into it, but I wouldn't go into a lot of detail with that. I'll send you a document that's going to detail that, but it's going to be about the analytics, for example, how many people joined your application, how many people have a license key versus how many are free riders on the application right now that may need to be sent out an email, say, for email marketing to kind of, bring them on board, make them subscribing consumers of your application. So there's going to be a small email marketing module in there as well that you could send out like a bulk email to. It is not going to be too, it would require you to be too tech-savvy to handle all of this. It might sound like this, but it's going to be really, you know, it's an easy interface. As long as you use Facebook or you use Instagram, you would be able to use your own admin panel as well to maintain the application. or just to get your hands onto it, and by the time you become proficient with it, or you become familiar with the backend admin system, we will of course be there with you, especially in the first 90 days after the app launches, and we will get you, we'll help you get your hands onto it and make any kind of changes that you are not able to make on the backend system.
Okay.
Works. Throw some questions at me, Jacqueline. I just want to make sure you're getting me. So do you have any questions? Would you like to pick my brain on something about, you know, how this is going to work, what the process looks like, anything that I can, you know, shed further light on?
No, I think that I think you understand what I want. I just obviously very curious about cost.
Okay, so you want to have me come to the numbers now. Okay. So this is going to work, this is going to be what the first phase of development is going to look like. We could have a second phase, a third phase, more not, but that is going to be for the future. Now coming to the numbers, whatever we've discussed so far, how soon do you want to go live with the application, by the way? How soon do you want to launch the application and make sure it's available to your reader base?
Honestly, that depends on the cost, you know?
Okay, that comes down to the cost as well. Okay. So there's two kinds of costs that I can give you, right? And one is the cost that in the month of June, we usually revise our prices and we hike our contract rate by about 15%, right? So if you're looking to get started sometime, and then we have 30 days to honor the old pricing, so that expires on the 30th of July. If you're looking to start somewhere around that time, say a week on top or less, we're looking at somewhere about $16,000 to $17,000 as a one-time fee for the complete discovery, the design, development, deployment, DevOps, everything included, along with a 3 months, a 90-day maintenance period. That's whereby we maintain the application for you. And this, the only cost that's not included to it is the optional maintenance retainer if you'd like to retain us. That's going to look at somewhere about $250 a month at the rate of 1.5%. I might have to run the calculator for this, but that's what we're looking at. However, if you think you need some more time, you need to wrap your head around it, you need to think more, you need to gather your finances, whatever the reasons could be, if you're looking at a later date to start this process and to get going with it, then we're looking at about 15% on top of the price that I quoted to you. So let's say the final price, which I will of course give you before we sign up, because we work on fixed price models. So if the final price comes out to be $17,000, which is pre-June, right, that I can honor until 30th July or, say, a week on top, and you plan to start later than that, then we're looking at somewhere about $19,500 is going to be the one-time fee for both Android, the iOS, the back-end admin panel, and the front-end application, accessible for both Android and iOS. And that is going to cost you $19,500, as long as you want to go with the regular rate. That is, you know, good. Stay good for at least the next 6 months.
Okay, I definitely need some time to. I am definitely interested, so I will definitely touch.
Okay.
It, right now it's just money. My kids and, you know, I'm paying college tuition this month. So
okay.
Not gonna
good luck with
my
that.
Daughter.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a single mom and she goes to college. So, like, you know, last semester she was in Europe for the semester. This semester she's back in Connecticut. So it should be easier anyways to afford.
Oh, well, Godspeed. I mean, I hope she's doing well and you guys are doing well. And what kind of price were you expecting when you started to research into a mobile application? I mean, what was your thought on what this would, something like this would cost you?
I thought 10, and that wouldn't have mattered. I mean, like, I honest to God have thought about this ever. I've never looked into it until today, and you were the first person I messaged. So
well, I hope it's helpful. Yeah.
I went into this blind, so yeah. No, I think that it sounds awesome. I would definitely be the person that was like, okay, I need you guys monthly, because I don't, I am very controlling over my business because it's my baby. Like, I, you know, I've built a business where I'm making more money than I ever thought I would be making. So, I mean, but
I appreciate that. So, and we have an NDA in place as well. That's one good thing too. So, you know, you kind of have a peace of mind. We do send out, or we offer, at least offer an NDA whenever we get to the discovery. This that we're having right now is the pre-onboarding discovery, right, whereby we need to figure what kind of hours at our end are going to go into it, and then, you know, subsequently, what kind of cost are we looking at as far as the developer is concerned, right? So, but when you get on board, we will have a more detailed post-onboarding discovery as well. You will be assigned a project manager. I'll be with you. Behind the scenes is going to be the developers and designers and the DevOps and SQA, right? And we're going to first create, or we're going to dot down a roadmap before we get to the actual execution, whereby you start to see the branding and then a mood board to show you, you know, what the first few screens are going to look like, and a few options, of course, to choose from. And once you choose one, then we, you know, design each of these screens for you, you know, that requires your collaboration and your approval. So it's not like we, you know, I take an order from you today, and then I get back to you 3 months later, and I tell you, Jacqueline, your app's done, please review it, and let's go live. We don't work like that, right? It's going to be a collaboration process. We will need you to make sure, you know, at each step, you can review, and at least give your feedback. It could be a layman feedback. You don't have to be a technologist to be able to give us that feedback. You just need to tell us if this is according to your vision or not, so we can move to the next step.
Okay. I just think of things like I'd love to, even I could still, like, just, like, I make the majority of my money on Amazon, but my pre-orders I could do on an app, my audiobooks I could, like, it just, and I'm starting, you know, bringing other authors into my world, of my world, and hope to do that more, you know, because that's also profitable to me.
What's the Kindle page, by the way?
What?
What's your Kindle handle, by the way? I mean, do you have a Kindle link that I could look at to see, to kind of review a book, if you don't mind?
Of my books?
Right. I thought you said you have an Amazon Kindle account whereby you make most of your earnings, right?
Yes. I have, it's my pen name. If you just go on Amazon, it's MJ Field. I think all that information is in my email. Like,
oh, yeah, I see it. MJ Fields, right? Okay, let me...
Yeah. And it's romance. It's, you know, the last series that I'm, the series I'm working on now is hockey, you know, because that became a big thing, but all my different worlds have different tones to them, and I have different readers who like everything, and then some that are very into, like, the angsty stuff, and then the alpha stuff, and it's different. I like what I do. That's a good
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I mean, I'm looking at your books right now, and I'm sure you're doing pretty well. I mean, this could really sell well on you know, your own personal application too. Sorry?
Until AI started, I was making 30 grand a month, which
wow.
is between 25 and 30.
Okay,
and then
that's...
But I'm running 5 grand a month in ads on Amazon and Facebook too. You know, all stuff that I want to avoid. and
right.
It's this AI started that, like, because with Kindle, you share a percent of what their subscriptions are with all the other authors, and they do it by page read, which I don't believe is accurate at all. But anyways, it went down 10 grand a month.
Wow, okay.
Over
so,
the past
4 months.
Hell no. Like, not okay with me. I really like traveling. I really like, you know.
Right. So are you like a cat, or do you live, I mean, do you have a permanent residence?
I live in my little hometown. I just bought a house that borders my dad's property. My dad's a farmer.
Oh, beautiful.
It borders his
okay.
property. There's a set of halls out back when I was little, so I bought a house that was foreclosed on and gutted the entire thing, and it makes me laugh because if I did it now, I don't know how I could afford to. because it's just a little house. I mean, it's 2,000 square feet. It's a decent-sized house.
Nice.
Kitchen is a chef's kitchen. I have an awesome fireplace. Like, I did stuff in this house that I've never had, so.
I'm so happy to hear that. I mean, more power to you, my friend. So I'm going through your content as well, so I'm kind of multitasking. I'm going through your content, and then I'm listening to you as well.
Okay.
Makes some pretty deep teeth.
All right, so no, I will definitely be in touch because this is something I want to do. I just got to figure out how I'm going to take that much money out of, you know, my normal costs.
Right, and then I think it's more of a time to market kind of a thing as well. This is more of a corporate jargon, but it essentially means that time the time it takes to launch something like this is going to be of essence as well. Because believe it or not, I mean, and take my word for advice, because I'm pretty well connected to the technology industry, just like you are connected with authoring yourself. AI is going to take over sooner, and it's going to take over a lot of spaces sooner than we're thinking of it. And, you know, this banking meltdown that happened, that was kind of a bliss for a lot of, people, because, you know, that kind of delayed what is about really to happen. So 2024 is going to look a lot more crazier in terms of how AI is going to, you know, saturate a lot of these places that belong to humans, and you know how we were, where people were putting in their creativity and putting in their heart and soul, like I say, that is going to fade out a lot more in the coming days and a lot faster. So if you want to close your reader base and you want to make sure you protect that and it's not taken over, then I think you should keep in mind the time to launch the application, and that should be sooner than later, to make sure you're not swarmed by your reader base is not it doesn't fade out, it doesn't go to other AI writers, and you're able to close them into your own application, and you can stay connected to them on a personal level as well.
My thing has been growth. Like, I have my readers from my very first, my biggest series was the Men of Steel, the brothers and the tattoo shop and that series, and it's all over the world, but those people will never leave me, but if I can bring them to a place that's not as noisy as Facebook. Like, think about Facebook, how we used to be able to post and see everything people posted, and now it's all about whose ads are showing. I don't want that. In my own life, I don't want that. I want quiet when I want quiet.
Exactly, and look at Netflix, for example. Netflix has, they're launching a basic subscription whereby you see ads and you pay a smaller price, right? Now, of course, you could upgrade to a better version, but that's all we know is that that's all just corporate ways of making more money out of you. So if a normal subscription right now costs you about $12, that is going to cost you about $20 without the ad, and then if you have to, you have to take an ad version whereby you see the advertisements as well, and you have to devour ads too just to pay a smaller price, then that would probably cost you $8, $9, and that would come up with the $12 standard that we're paying for the no ad version right now. So this is going to, and then corporates are corporates themselves are finding it hard to survive with all the competition. So they're going to try and make more and more money out of all these platforms that we use on a daily basis. And that's exactly what I said. I mean, this is going to happen. This is going to happen sooner than we think it is going to happen, right? So
I can tell you right now, last election year, you could not get Facebook ads to run at a decent price because all the politicians were slamming it with their thousands of dollars from all their, special interests. And I hate politicians. Oddly, my grandfather was a legislator for my entire life before he passed away, so I know how dirty it is.
Okay. There's so many repercussions, and there's so many things that are happening, over time. It's just hard to keep a track of all of this, and that kind of makes it super noisy, if nothing else. maybe super anxious as a simple person who doesn't like to be constantly bogged by notifications and advertisements and whatnot. And that's exactly why I love your idea. I said at the start as well, I had kind of an idea of what you were trying to do and what you were trying to achieve out of this. And I think it's a perfect plan, right?
The other thing with me is I can write a book a month. Like, I write very fast, and I get into my head and don't, again, my daughter's in college now, so there's not a lot of noise unless I'm traveling. And so to me, if I charge $4.99 a month or $5.99 a month, they're going to be getting something of me that they would otherwise pay for, the same amount. You know what I mean? If I sell my books on Amazon for $4.99, they're going to get that same value from buying from me. So, and I'm going to make more money. So it makes sense to me. That's all.
Absolutely, and I think that's a win-win, as you'd call it. So, Jacqueline, let me ask you this. I mean, you were at least making good money. I realized that kind of dropped, and given the reasons that kind of led to that drop in the revenues that you were earning, those are just going to augment over time, and they're going to take over. A lot more.
I know.
That does not happen. Right. And then secondly, I think you're still making enough amount of money to kind of make sense out of this platform. The first reservation I personally had when we were discussing the application and I wanted to run this with you is that how do you plan to monetize this? But after I'm looking at your Amazon and I see so many books that you do and the way you mentioned that you can write a book a month, where you can offer value to your subscribers, people that are actually paying for value, I think it totally makes sense, and you could recover this investment, and you could make a lot better ROI in a very short period of time. So
yes, the thing is I then have to pull everything off of Amazon Kindle Unlimited. I have to do the whole, you know, not let the people pay their $9.99 a month that Amazon lets them. They used to be they could only read 10 books a month for $9.99. Now they let them have unlimited, just so you know. So they keep changing and keep giving us less and less. On a site that used to be about books, that's how Amazon was birthed, you know. So, yeah, I definitely have to do this, but, like, then I'm going to have to think of the money that I know I'm going to make a month. I know I'm going to make my great months have been in the 30s. My average months are around 15 now after the AI thing. So then I've got to think about how much I've got to look into my back on Amazon and see how much is actually sales as opposed to Kindle Unlimited page reads.
Right. And you don't have to quit Kindle right off the bat as well. I mean, you could phase out and
if you publish your books anywhere else, you have to take them off Kindle. Ebooks. So I do have to. I don't have to take, I can still sell there.
Mm-hmm.
But like I'm saying, I think the majority of my readers come from Kindle Unlimited because, you know, before that I was in the top 100 every release. And Kindle Unlimited, all these people started pushing it. And I'm like, are you freaking nuts? Like I fought it for years. And then finally I'm like, I hired a business consultant, and he's like, is it about the money, or is it about, you know, what's it about now? And I'm like, it's about the money, you know. I've put 8 years into this. So he said, go with Kindle Unlimited, and it went from, I mean, I was to the point where I was only making $8,000 a month, which I know sounds like a lot, but there's a lot of expenses to this as well. And
living in this
forsaken country, it's expensive. So, and, anyways, so I went limited, and it breathed new life into it. So now it's how do I take out of Kindle Unlimited? And I've been working on this. I've gotten my audiobooks out of just Kindle Unlimited, and I put them wide, and they're doing better now than they were. So, like, I'm slowly easing out of there. But this app is going to have to be the big pull, and it's going to have to be, you know, I can still sell my books on there. I'm just going to have to figure it out, I guess. I need like a couple days to really think and then to look at the money. And then I will definitely get back to you because I know this is the way.
Oh, no, yeah, definitely. And we would take a couple of days or, you know, probably even more to get this going anyway because, you know, we do a scope of work document. Like I said, we work on fixed price projects. So we give you the final quote that's going to run you from point A to point Z. And then we're also going to give you a fixed scope that we will, you know, review together. You tell me if there's something that you're missing that you'd like to have to add on. If there's something that's extra, we have to scope down or we have to flesh out an exact scope of work before we can get started anyway. So if you think you need a few days, we would need a few days as well. So that sounds perfectly fine. As far as the content on Amazon Kindle is concerned, now that you're going to sleep over this, I just want to, you know, kind of help you make this decision because you don't have to quit Amazon Kindle right off the bat, right? You need to phase it out. I mean, as long as you want to keep your income coming in and you want to, because I think in your case, it's a no-brainer in the sense that you can cover the cost of development even in a month or a little over that, right? I understand there are expenses to it, say 2 months.
For my little old self, I have, you know, 19,000 newsletter subscribers. I can, you know, my open rate is 30%. They would probably all join this. But I've got to make
amazing.
Sure.
So you have all
again,
these sorry?
My daughter's father, my ex-husband, is not taking care of my kid going to college. That's me, and that's important to me because I didn't have that option. I want to give that to her, so.
But I mean, I, like I said, yeah, I realize that, you know, there are expenses. There's expense into getting the sale, you know, that you're getting as well, which I totally understand, and that's exactly what you're trying to minimize, if not eliminate, using an application.
Right.
I think it's more like a 2 months worth of revenue that you make minus your expenses that could fund the development. As far as how I see it, I mean, you know your equation better. But apart from that, I think Amazon Kindle, what you could do is, you know, we could offer the new content that you, so it's going to take about 3 months to build the application. Let me put that into perspective as well, right? So this 3 months, you could probably write about, if you do it the way you do, you could probably write about 4 or 5 books. And then, you know, remove the free versions or the free books from Kindle and put them on your application. That way we have a portion of free content on the application and then an exclusive content that people cannot even find on Amazon Kindle. And especially your current readers, your avid readers that want to read you, and they, you know, kind of wait for every book that comes out, and your newsletter subscribers and, you know, the sales that you generate from Amazon and all those emails, they would, you know, would benefit from like a VIP club or something like that, you know, where they could join, they could, you know, pay a subscription fee on your application, and they could get access to the content that's not that they cannot even purchase on Amazon Kindle. And that's at least how we could start out. And then, you know, slowly and gradually, you could phase out Amazon Kindle, you could remove a few books every month and put them on your platform. And, you know, when as the user base grows on the platform and it minimizes on the Amazon Kindle handle you have. And that's how we could phase out Amazon Kindle altogether. And, you know, your application could have all the users and all the reader base that you have on all the, scattered on all the other platforms, Amazon Kindle and then your newsletter subscribers and other places as well.
Yep. I agree. All right, well, thank you so much. I will be in touch, definitely. I'm going to look through this, and then I've got a couple things I have to finish up today. Emails to send out.
Well, I appreciate your time. I'll let you go, Jacqueline, and I'll keep you posted as well. We will do a scope of work document. Is there something else that I need to send over to you?
Have you guys worked on something like this before, like for an author, and have you seen success in it? And like that's, I'm kind of wondering about that.
Well, we have worked on a marketplace that does not do exactly what you do, but it has similar functions. So it's going to give you an idea of the skill set we have and whether we can build features that you're looking for. So I'll send you some portfolio on that as well.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Thank you so much.
Perfect. I'll let you go, Jacqueline. You have a great day and the rest of the week ahead. And let's stay in touch.
All right.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Appreciate it, Beth.